Welcome to the Friday evening services with Brother Ralph Bauer, missionary to Trinidad. This is Friday evening, June the 24th, 1983. The Lord bless as we worship together around the precious Word of God on this Friday evening. Okay, let's turn to page 170. Wonderful words of life. And certainly many people, not only in Trinidad, but here in Perry County, need the Lord. And we praise the Lord for missionaries. Every one of us is either a missionary or a mission field. And I keep referring to the sign my brother gave me back there. You've met George, haven't you? George, my brother, gave me that sign back there that says, "You are now entering the mission field." As you leave the door of the church tonight, you're going to be entering the mission field where people hurt and where they need the Lord and need encouragement. Let's stand again, please, as we sing all three stanzas of 170. Everybody sing. Sing the old words again to me, wonderful words of God. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of mine. Words of life and beauty, teach me grace and beauty.
Say hello in Trinidad at this time of evening. Well, now, yeah, just about this time. Let's see, it's 7:16. Of course, by now in Trinidad, the sun's down. So just as the sun goes down, we don't say hello or good evening, but we say good night. So let's try it again. Good night. Thank you. Now, that sounds strange. But what do we say in the morning when we meet each other? Good morning. Why not say good night at night? First time that I heard that, I was preaching my first message in Trinidad back in 1973. We had just left Kentucky. Actually, we went to Trinidad. I'm from Illinois originally, but we came down here to Kentucky, and we're here 11 years, and we just sort of became a Kentuckian, you know. And we even left for Trinidad from Kentucky, not from Illinois. We left from Lexington. Some of the folks from Camp Nathaniel drove us out there. I'll never forget it. But the first time we got to Trinidad, and there they speak English. So I wasn't there too long before I preached my first message. And that was kind of interesting. You know, you're kind of apprehensive about your message the first time you preach in a foreign country. You wonder, do they really understand what I'm saying? You know, and about in the middle of the service, the fellow walks in. Now, they're kind of late there. Sometimes they say if you're half an hour late, you're early in Trinidad. Well, it's not quite that bad. But the people don't always get there on time, you know. And about halfway in the middle of the service, the fellow walks in and he says, "Good night, everybody." And they said, "Good night, Brother So-and-so." Here I was up here preaching. I thought they was leaving me, you know. Well, it took me a while to get used to that. But there's a lot of cultural things that you have to learn when you go to another country. But it's a thrill to be here. And we've been looking forward. We left this morning, actually 5:15 our time. It was 6:15 your time. We lost an hour coming down and arrived here. It took us 11 hours to get here. But we praise the Lord. I was always a little concerned that if I travel on the day we start a service, because you wonder, boy, if you have, you know, problems, you may not make it. And I don't like to miss the service, but praise the Lord. I know you were praying, and we were able to be with you tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. And we trust you'll be praying that God will speak to our hearts during this time. Yes, we came to Kentucky in 1962 and left in 1973. We lived on McIntosh. And you know where McIntosh is? And that's over in God's country, in Leslie County, you know. And just really enjoyed our time over in Leslie County those 11 years. And actually, we were able to help start the McIntosh Chapel over there. Worked with the Wooten Baptist Church and McIntosh Baptist Chapel. And good to see it still going yet. Brother James Madeline's preaching over there. And that's always a thrill. And praise the Lord for that. Tonight, Trinidad. Have any of you ever been to Trinidad? Sometimes we meet people who've been to Trinidad. And America had a base there in World War II. Occasionally we meet people who were there. Well, it's a country about 2,000 miles south of Miami, Florida. Okay? It's almost straight south. Just a little bit east of there. Take all those Caribbean countries from Miami, kind of make a moon shape. And the very last one is Trinidad. Right next to Venezuela. About 9 miles from Venezuela. It's an island, probably about twice the size of Perry County. And we have 1.25 million people live on it. Now, tomorrow evening, we want to show you some slides of Trinidad. And this will be the most thorough presentation of the work there. And I believe it'll be dark enough. It's sun's going down now, and we probably about 7:30 we can look at the slides. And we're going to just share them with you. And I think that they'll give you a real good idea of what the work is there. So I won't go into a lot of the details tonight, okay? Now, Sunday evening, we're going to share I guess that'll be during the training union time. Right before we left Trinidad, almost a year ago, we had a young fella come down who took some pictures, sound pictures, 8mm sound pictures, of a of a communion service in a Hindu village, a little church we started there 3 years ago. You've got to see that, okay? We want to share it with you. It's not perfect. It's not a television presentation, okay? It's a homemade production. But you'll hear some of the men give their testimonies and show you a little bit what a church is in Trinidad, okay? You might even hear the roosters crow while the service is going on, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? I trust that you'll be praying much for the week. Now, we brought with us some Trinidad instruments. Now, this is the main musical instrument in Trinidad. These are just barrels, okay? This is the bottom of the inside down. They call these steel pans. Drums. Now, most of the time, when my family comes with me, I leave these at home. Because I can't get them all in the car. And you can imagine how we were packed in today coming down here, but we wanted to bring these down back. Alright, now the way these happen to be about is during the World War, America had a base. And after we left, America left the base. Gave it back to the opposite of Trinidad after World War II. They left some old barrels. Oh, 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 oh. And to beat on those barrels. Go around with it and then out of the game. So we're going to play it for you. And I need a good someone who really knows American music and plays American. Here she is. He says he's a professional of music. And she's going to help me tonight. Now, in Trinidad, we always train our national. You know, our local. So, today I'm training my national. Okay? She's going to help me. This little song is entitled, All Powerless Eleven. Today, you can say anything that you can. Ready to look.
To God be the glory, praise, 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 praise
tonight? He's wonderful, isn't he? Praise the Lord. On the table in the back, we have some things. And tomorrow night, you'll be seeing a little bit of this church the Lord started in Kaparo Village. It was a dark Hindu area 3 years ago. And in this little booklet, it's our team magazine. Inside of it is an article. It's entitled, The Village That Couldn't Work Together. So you get that as you can take one and read it and keep the book, okay? I have plenty of them. There's many other articles in the magazine. Then there's a little pamphlet, little thing. A Christian is no greater, just a little bookmark, than his prayer life. And it's just got a good little reading on the back of it. You put it into your Bible, and it'll remind you to pray. And then, I'll probably mention this every night, but if during the week God would so lay it upon your heart to become a prayer partner with us in the ministry, we always ask the Lord as we go that occasionally God speaks to heart and they'd like to really become a prayer partner with us. Well, we have these letters. This is a prayer. This is our last prayer letter we sent out just 2 weeks ago. I believe you're on our mailing list, aren't you, James? And what we'd like for you to do is to sign your name to there's a little sheet back there. And every 3 months we send these out. And Lord willing, we want to be going to Trinidad August 29th. And you'll just be a part of the team there. So you can sign your name and address. And there's no obligation other than that you pray. And also, we appreciate your prayers, and we'll be sharing more about that as the week goes on, but we want to look into God's Word tonight. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. This is a great missionary book. I really like this precious book. And let's see, most of the folks use the King James here, do they? Okay, let's read together. If you have your Bible, the first 10 verses. Let's just read through the whole chapter together with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, read it with me, okay? Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's bow our heads to pray. Jesus, I thank you for the privilege tonight of teaching your word. Thank you for missions. Jesus was the greatest missionary. He was the apostle and high priest of our calling. And you've said, Lord, as Paul said, we too are apostles. Not in the same sense, but Lord, you've given us a calling to share your message. Bless this congregation, this pastor, and Jesus tonight. We just bind the powers of the evil one in his name, in the name of Jesus, and pray you'll give freedom as your word is shared. And the word will be obeyed. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, I well remember James's brother, George Hamlin. I was over at McIntosh, just a young fellow from Ottamoody, and hadn't done too much preaching. We started that little church over there. And James gave me my real first course in personal evangelism. George, I mean. He preached for us a week over there. And he wasn't like most evangelists. He didn't only preach. He said, we're going to go out and we're going to win souls. And so Monday we went out, and Tuesday we went out, and Wednesday we went out, and Thursday we went out, and Friday we went out, and Saturday we went out, and knocked on doors together. I'll never forget that, dear brother. And I learned something that week that has stuck with me the rest of my life. A dear brother in the Lord. And James and I have known each other for a long time. And I believe this week the rest of us are going to get to know each other. Amen? I really believe that. God's Word is great. And this book of 1 Thessalonians is an exciting book because Paul went into this church. You can find it in Acts. We won't go into it. And in 3 weeks, he has started a church. 3 weeks. Now, in Trinidad, we put up a building in a day one time. Church building, built in a day. But we never have built a church in a day. I mean, a real church. You know, we were there about 6 weeks, or excuse me, 6 months. We had a group of believers there. This was about 9 years ago. And they said on New Year's Day, they all had off work, and they said, we're going to build a church. I said, you're going to what? They said, we're going to build a church. And so I got there about 9:30 in the morning, and they already had the poles up. They just set some poles, you know, down the middle and along the four sides, and laid a few too. And by night, the church was up. And it was about, maybe 30 feet long by 20 feet wide. But we could get 50, 60 people in there. Pack them in there, you know. And the floor wasn't cement. It was made out of cow dung and mud, you know. And you look and say, cow dung and mud, how do they do that? Well, they just mix some mud and cow dung together, you know, some dry cow dung, you know, cow manure. And I couldn't believe it, but it hardens almost like cement. And you can't even smell it, you know. And it was a night, and every Sunday they'd sweep that floor out, cow dung and mud, you know. And it was clean and neat. The Trinidadians are very neat people. Very clean. They don't have that much, but they're clean. You'll see on the pictures. But it was real nice until one day we had a flood and the water came in and soaked the cow down. You can about imagine what happened. Well, anyhow, it dried out again. We went back to preach. You know, you can preach the gospel anywhere. Amen? You know, and that's the thrill of the Lord Jesus. You can go in a big cathedral and preach the gospel. Or you can go in a little humble mud hut and preach the gospel. The gospel fits anywhere, doesn't it? Isn't that exciting? And it can be shared anywhere. Well, Paul went into this city of Thessalonica, and in 3 weeks, he got thrown out of the city. He slept out at night. And he turned, you know what he got accused of doing? He got accused, and you can see this in Acts, of turning the world upside down. Well, that's the way the devil sees it when you go out and serve him. They say, boy, that guy's really upside down. But really, he was turning the world right side up. Amen? He really was. But the devil looks at you cross-eyed. The world don't understand because they're blind. You see. They said that he turned the world upside down. And they said he preached another king, Jesus. Amen. Caesar was king in those days, and you had to bow to him. Paul preached another king, Jesus. That's why he was successful. Amen. Praise God. Well, then, he had to leave the city. They were being persecuted, Brother Tommy. They were being persecuted. And you said it's a little tough, you know. And it is. Jesus never said it'd be easy. He said not only is it given on us to believe on Him, but to suffer. And so he had to leave. But he was so concerned about those believers. He didn't just leave them alone, so he sent Timothy back to see how they was doing a few months later. And Timothy reported to Paul, and he told him how they was doing. Then Paul sat down, and he wrote this letter to him and sent it back with Timothy again. This is the letter we got right here, 1 Thessalonians, the letter he sent back to him. Now, as I look at this book, it's a missionary book. Chapter 1, I like to call chapter 1 as the purpose of missions. The purpose of missions. Chapter 2 is the person of missions. Chapter 3 is the prayer of missions. Chapter 4 and 5 is the walk of missions. And all throughout the book is the hope of missions, the second coming of Jesus. All throughout the book. Is that your hope tonight? Amen? Jesus is coming back. Well, now I want to just share with you three ingredients of missions. Absolute ingredients. If you want to have missions. Three ingredients. One time my wife cooked chili for me, and she forgot to put the chili in. It wasn't chili. No matter how good it tasted, even though those beans still tasted good, it wasn't chili, because chili wasn't in. Now, there's some ingredients that have to be in the work of God, or it's not missions. Okay? Some ingredients. Well, we'll just look at three tonight for a moment. First of all, verse 1. You got your Bibles. I've underlined Paul, Silas, or Silvanus, Timotheus, that's Timothy. I've underlined those three men. Now, this is very simple tonight. But the first ingredient of missions is people. God needs people. He could have sent the angels down to preach the gospel. But he didn't do that. God chose you and I. He chose people. He chose Paul. He chose Silas. He chose Timothy. Every person who knows Jesus. Now, what kind of people? First of all, saved people. Paul was saved. You remember when he was saved? On the road to Damascus. He met a light, and it was Jesus. I'll tell you, I was saved in a cow barn. One night I was milking cows. And I heard a song. Now, I was married at the time, not too long. But I heard a song. And my hope at that time was to own that farm. And we just got started in farming. And I heard a song. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus in riches untold. Now, a lot of seed was sown before that. My brother was saved. He witnessed to me. But that night, the Holy Spirit broke my heart. And I knelt down by a bale of hay and came to know Jesus as my Savior. I was born again. Thank the Lord. You know, if Jesus could be born in a cow shed, I guess you can get born again there too, you know? You can get born again anywhere, can't you? And God once saved people. And that night, in all of my immaturity, yet that night I stepped into the first qualification of being a missionary. Saved. Paul was saved. Silas was saved. Timothy was saved. We could look into that. But the second kind of people, it says Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church. Not only saved people, but church people. Church people. God don't save us and just leave us out somewhere. God expects us to come to the church. And God wants church people. Paul went out from a church. When he went out, he started churches. And they were from the Antioch church. And Timothy was from the Lystra church. And one of the most important things for young people today and older, whoever want to go out in the mission field, is to get involved in a good church. A lot of times people come to our mission. Our mission is called TEAM. It's the Evangelical Alliance Mission. It's interdenominational, but it's Baptist in belief. And it's an excellent mission. We have people there from various groups, but our doctrinal statement is very sound. And we have young people sometimes come to our mission and want to become missionaries. Now, a lot of times they got saved in the university. Praise the Lord. But they'd never been involved in a church. And we always tell them, listen, go back to the church, get into a good church, and get some church experience. So basic. How can you start a church if you've never been in a church? You see what I mean? Church people! And the third thing is, committed people. Saved people, church people. He says, to the church at Thessalonica, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've underlined that word, Lord. Jesus was not only Paul's Savior, he was Jesus' Lord. It was committed people. People who are really committed to Jesus Christ. Now, one time, this is just a story, but I heard a story about a pig and a chicken were walking along and they saw the sign, ham and eggs. And the chicken said, see, we're part of that. And the pig said, yeah, he says, yours, but yours is just a donation. Mine is a sacrifice. Let it sink a little bit. The chicken, the eggs were just a donation. But to have ham, it was his blood. Committed people. Committed people. People in whom Jesus is Lord. Chet Bitterman, the Wycliffe missionary who went out to die in Colombia, knew what it meant to be committed to Jesus Christ. And you know, when we're between Gethsemane and the cross and the torches light the garden, we have to know three things. We have to know who we are. We're saved. We're God's children. We have to know where we're going, or what we're doing. We're obeying God's command. And we have to know where our values lie. Where our values lie. Even as missionaries, we're tempted to look on the things of the world. And sometimes our outfit becomes more important than our infit. That's right. Committed people. Is your life committed fully, the snow, to Jesus Christ? Have you made that full surrender to Jesus? That's the kind of people that God wants to use. The second thing, let's read on. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. I've underlined the last word of verse 2. Prayer. The first ingredient is people. God must use people. God won't save a person except through people. Somewhere along the line, a person. Someone says, well, someone found the track. And no one talked to him and he got saved. Well, somebody had to write the track. God uses people. And I don't know if there was ever a person saved. I believe I heard your brother say this one time and it stuck with me all my life. He says, I don't believe if there was ever a person saved whom someone didn't pray for. Prayer is the second ingredient, the last word of verse 2. Paul says, we give thanks to God for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I wonder how many of us really believe prayer changes things. What kind of prayer was this? Look at verse 2. We, that means it's united prayer. Give thanks. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. Always. That means continual prayer. For you all, specific prayer. Prayer. You know, in Trinidad, I think one of the keys to our work there is every Thursday morning, all the missionaries, men, The ladies have another time. But all the men get together for prayer at 6 o'clock every Thursday morning. The missionaries. And sometimes we plan to be there for 2 hours. But we try to be open even if we have to stay longer. And sometimes, you know, I know one day we left at 3. Sometimes problems come up. Sometimes we find missionaries have maybe feelings toward another missionary. And these things all come out as you pray together. And I can remember times where we've had to weep and confess before God. You say, missionaries? Yes, missionaries. And I believe that was the key to our work there in Trinidad. We've had to be honest with ourselves, honest with one another, honest with our sins, and on our knees, pray together. Specifically. I learned this when I was just a little fellow, about 10 years of age. I was in a church back in Illinois. I wasn't saved. Well, I tried to tell everybody I was. But you know, there was an old lady there. Now, she wasn't a Sunday school teacher. She wasn't even part of the ladies' missionary. She was just a lady that you was there on Sunday. But when I was 10 years old, she gave me a little Bible story book. You know, one of these little Bible story books you look through, you know. And I didn't, you know, I didn't want anybody to see that. You know, I thought my buddies would make fun of me, you know. So she gave it to me, and I kind of held it behind like this, you know. I took it to the car and stuck it in, shut the door, you know. And when I got home, my mother took that book and she set it aside. You know, I never opened that book as far as I know. Until Moel finally, we got married. I moved away. Apparently my mother, in moving away, or moving out of the home, saw to it that that little book was with my belongings. I wasn't saved at the time. But then in the process of time, I got saved. My mother actually got killed in a car wreck. And we went to Moody Bible Institute. We had a little son, Terry's his name. He's 25 years old now. But he was just a little fella. And I said to my wife, did you ever see that Bible story book anywhere? Well, yeah, it's right here. So she got it out. Sure enough, it was the same book. It had been about 14 years later now. But here I want to tell you, I opened that book up, probably for the first time. This old lady that gave it to me has since long died. But inside the book was a letter that I'd never read. And you know what she said? She says, Ralph, she says, I'm praying for you. God will save you. She knew different. She knew I wasn't saved. See, I'm praying that God will save you. And then she says, I'm praying that God will make you a missionary. And when I read that, I wept, you know. A little lady that nobody thought much about. Wasn't a leader in a church. But somehow in her prayers, she took an interest in a little boy. Who other people even said, well, he's the black sheep of this church. And we, you know what I mean. We had a couple boys that just used to cause little problems in the church. But this dear lady took us to prayer. God answers prayer. Well, that's why we ask God to delay as we go from place to place. We ask the Lord to give us some people that'll pray. People that'll pray. This last term where we were in Trinidad, the first term in 1973, and this last term, we went back in 1978. And you remember it was, well, you could probably remember back to the time, you remember of Jim Jones and all the business down in Guyana. Now, this was close to Trinidad. Guyana's pretty close to Trinidad, just a few hundred miles. And they had gotten word in Trinidad that Jim Jones was going to set up a camp in Trinidad. In fact, they even on some of the boats got some of his things that they were shipping over there. So they didn't know who was really responsible for this. So they just decided at that point they weren't going to give any more visas to any missionaries. They suspected us all. And so finally, well, they finally gave us a year They were very generous to us. Some of them never got a year, never got very little. They gave us 1 year, and they said, you'll have to be out in a year. We'll give you 1 year, then you go. Well, we wrote our prayer partners, told them about it, asked them to pray. And they prayed. Some of them prayed for this visa. In fact, throughout the year, we'd get letters from people, listen, Ralph, we're praying for you, we're praying for you. Well, it came down to about 6 months or 6 weeks. And so we wrote the government and we applied again. Actually, we didn't. Our churches did. We have a few local church leaders and they wrote a letter to the government themselves. Said we'd like for the Bowers to stay. We got a letter back from the government. No. That was all it said. No reason, no nothing. Well, I had one prayer partner. He just, you know, would say, Ralph, I believe you're going to stay. I just believe you're going to stay. And I wrote him a letter. And I told him, this time God shut the door. Sometimes he does, doesn't he? Sure he does. Sometimes God just shuts the door. So I wrote him this letter, God shut the door. You know, I got a letter back from him. We're supposed to be out in about 6 weeks. And he said, listen, he said, you're still there. We're still praying. Hang on. But I tell you, that's the kind of prayer partners you like to have. Amen? He said, I believe God's going to keep you there. Now, did you know sometimes it's easier to pray for somebody and believe God for somebody when you're not right in the battle? Did you know that? Yourself. In other words, that's why God asks, you know, when you're sick. What's he say? Call for the elders and let them pray for you. Isn't it hard sometimes when you're sick to pray? You ever been that way? You know, some people say, well, you're supposed to believe God. You know, sometimes I can't hardly pray if your head's hurting. But God says, call for the elders to pray for you. You know, and here we were down in this mess, and here were these prayer partners hanging on for us. I've given up, I'll tell you. I'd given up. In fact, we went to another island. We were planning on possibly going to another island, working with another group for a while. And you know something? Let me tell you something. We couldn't ask the government anymore because our mission decided not to. There were still a couple missionaries there besides us. And they thought if we got too persistent, they might make us all leave. So here we were. We had 6 weeks to go. And we couldn't even ask the government anymore. They'd already said no to us twice. Sort of like when Paul was on that boat, when all hope was gone. Have you ever been that place in your life? When all hope is gone, there's only one way to look. Say, Lord. Well, I'll tell you, God did it. He changed it. Did a miracle. I believe it was a miracle. Can't tell you how he did it. It'd take me another 20 minutes. But I tell you, it started over in Venezuela. Somebody happened to come to Trinidad, who happened to meet us, who happened to be going to another spot on the island, who happened to meet somebody, who happened to know the Prime Minister personally. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen? The way it is with Jesus, isn't it? Huh? You can know this whole Bible, but if you don't know Him... Well, God brought us in contact with a person who could really help us. And it was, when we got that visa for a year, then we got it for another year, then a year ago, December, we got it for 3.5 years. And you know what I believe? I believe it was because people were praying. Sometimes the devil tries to shut the door. And we don't use the resources God has given us. That's right. Sometimes, you know, the Lord says, pray, or ask. And you know what that word means? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. In other words, there are times when it takes persistence